Good evening. My name is Talita Dolman. I've been in shofar since 2003. I'm married with two boys, and my husband is Eugene Dolman, whom many of you would know. So what a pleasure to share with you tonight and just be of encouragement. In my corporate world, I'm very used to obtaining a lot of information and reading through lots of medical clinical trials. So I'm very much inclined to give a complete analysis of a chapter, but it holds so much information for us. But I will restrain myself tonight and just give you a basic abstract and maybe just my key learnings I am reminded by working through this chapter. So Acts 18 starts where Paul arrives in Corinth after he was in Athens, where many came to believe that he was also exposed to their many idols and their constant search and debates about new ideas. This chapter marks the end also of Paul's second missionary journey and also the start of the third. The setting is in Corinth. Now, it's a city with two harbors that is a major crossroad in terms of trade and travel and the Roman Empire. The Corinthians were known to be hedonistic. That means being self-indulgent in all sorts of pleasures. And basically, they have a very much an immoral culture. Paul knew it to be a tough ground that it needed to have strong disciples. In the city, Paul gets acquainted with Aquila and Priscilla, a Jewish couple that had to leave Italy because Claudius Caesar deported all Jews from Rome. A strong friendship was born, and they worked together in tent making. We are not sure if they were already believers or became believers because of Paul, but that they were believers in Corinth and beyond was evident. So Paul worked with Aquila and Priscilla, and they had tent making skills in common. So during the week he would work with them in his trade to make money to survive and obviously to support his mission. And on the Sabbath day he would be in a synagogue talking about Jesus being the Messiah and challenging the Jews on their views. And that is when Timothy and Silas came from Macedonia and joined Paul in Corinth. And they joined him. And since then, he was then permanently talking about Jesus and bringing the message of the Messiah, and whereby he wasn't doing the tent making anymore, but then he did it full time. But he did get means from the believers from Philippi that supported him during that time in Corinth as well. The Jews in Corinth rejected and opposed his message about Jesus being the Messiah. And this is when Paul shook the dust from his clothes and said, "Your blood is upon your own heads. I am innocent. From now on, I will go preach to the Gentiles." But Paul never gave up on the Jews in Corinth. He still loved on them. This is evident because Crispus, the leader of the synagogue at that time, and everyone in his household believed in the Lord. Many other in Corinth also heard and believed in Paul's message and got baptized. Being surrounded by complete immoral and hedonistic behavior all the time and getting opposed and rejected by his own people, the Jews, Paul did grow despondent and depressed for a while. He lost sight, I believe, of his purpose and God in him and through him. But God is faithful and good. He came to encourage Paul in a vision. In verse 9 we read, "Don't be afraid, speak out, don't be silent, for I am with you and no one will attack and harm you, for many people in the city belong to me." This strengthened Paul and he stayed another 18 months in Corinth teaching the word. So basically that gave him the endurance to finish the part of the work that the Lord wanted him to do there. In this time, the Jews in Corinth did rise up and try to get Paul persecuted in the Roman court. But the governor at that time found no evidence of crime committed and threw them all out of the court, causing further division amongst those Jews in their efforts. Paul still stayed a while after this, but then went to nearby Cenchrea and then set sail for Syria, taking his friends Aquila and Priscilla with him. He journeyed to several places after this and ended his long missionary trip back at home in Antioch. He spent some time there and then left for his third trip, visiting and strengthening all the believers where he has been before. Aquila and Priscilla is shown in the latter part of the chapter to have been instrumental in equipping Apollos, a historic equivalent, I believe, of our modern-day Rabbi Zachariah. With the news of Jesus, of course, they equipped him, they took him aside, and they taught him about the message of Jesus and that he is truly the Messiah. So Apollos was fervent in spirit, eloquent in speech, and knew the scriptures very well. He ended up being the one God destined to further the work that Paul started in Corinth. So basically, to share just a little bit of the key learnings from this chapter that really resonated with me, was that Paul was connected, he was in communion, he was supported with instrumental friendships with Aquila and Priscilla. And that was a very important part of his journey. It is so important for our lives, because if I think of my and Eugene's life and the seasons of our life and the friends that has come and gone, but how instrumental many of them were of what God brought into our lives and deposited in our lives and brought about change and equipping us is phenomenal. If I have to look back over our 13 years of marriage and just how many friendships have really deposited so much of God in our lives, it is so important to be in friendship, to be in communion, to be supported in community. And truly, I'm reminded of that. And that's exactly what Paul had with Priscilla and Aquila. They worked with them. They lived with them. They went with them. The coming in and the going out. When he left further on his missionary journey, they went with. And they even stayed in Ephesus and they saw Apollos and they were missionary in their focus as well. And God had a destiny and a purpose for them as well, to have departed from Paul at a stage, but also to complete that for which the Lord has laid upon their hearts and their journey. So amazing to see that actually in scripture and how fundamental that still is and applies to us today. Before Paul can strengthen and encourage fellow believers, he first has to receive his strength and encouragement from God. He got a bit depressed there for a while. I mean, it was really tough ground. I mean, he had so much coming against him. Even his own people tried to persecute him. They rejected him. So, I mean, he really went day by day. He had to experience that. And it's been a long journey as well. And one can grow tired and weary after a while. If you lose sight of the purpose for what the Lord has sent you for, if you lose sight of just that hope, that encouragement that the Lord brings in your life. So Paul had to receive his strength and his encouragement from the Lord first, before he could be in a position to encourage and to strengthen believers around him. He also took a vow as he journeyed back home, a time of consecration to the Lord, which is also important, especially after going through an intense time. Lastly, Paul truly had a passion for building disciples, not merely making converts. If Paul were to visit our church today, what would he want to know? How strong of a disciple are you? What can I do to strengthen your walk with Jesus? He would probably remind us all that it isn't enough to start strong, but we must always growing in strength. So with that said, believers, get your strength and encouragement from God. He is faithful and loving. He will not give you a rock when you ask for bread. Let's not neglect the saints, even in this challenging time. Let's reach out, encourage and strengthen one another, further build on relationships, make new ones. It is very easy now to keep to ourselves and to do our own thing and lose out on what God is busy doing around us. Pray for the people that the Lord lays upon your heart. Ask for opportunity to share with them. Start with your testimony, what Jesus means to you. It is often the things you deem insignificant that is very significant to another. Open your heart and look outwards and just share. Have a great week further. Be blessed and be a blessing. And I will end off for us in prayer. Thank you, Jesus, just for this reminding of your strengthening and encouraging that is enough. Lord, that we can carry on and endure, Father, day by day, Father. If we are connected with you, Lord, we can do anything, Father, that you set before us. Thank you, Lord, for communion, for community, for unity amongst believers. And just thank you for friends in our lives, Lord, to help to build us up in the faith, to strengthen us when we feel weak, to encourage us, Lord, when we feel depressed. Thank you, Lord, for each and every one of us, Lord, that we are connected and that we will reach out to one another and just love upon one another. Because, Lord, you first loved us. Thank you, Jesus, for your strength. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your living hope, Lord. And I pray that everyone tonight that's listened to this message, Lord, will be reminded of who you truly are, Father, that you're a good, good Father. Amen.